It's Introduction Podcast Week on America's Top Podcaster, and we're checking in on Team One. How do they do? See what I did there? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. It's Introduction Podcast Week, and Bobby, David, Don, and Kristen, temporarily known as Team One, are hard at work on their submission. We'll listen in on their coaching session with Tom and finally hear their entry for this week's challenge. But before any of that, I spoke to Bobby Frankenberger to see how they were gelling as a team. Bobby Frankenberger from Team One. How's it going, Bobby?
It's going well, Brian. How are you?
Good. I'm excited. Brand new season kicking off, and I gave you guys your first challenge. And basically, this is just a little touch base to see how things are going. First off, how's the team gelling as a group?
I think we're doing really well. We met after recording last night, after we all kind of were together recording, and we met for the first time right away. We decided to go ahead and get rolling, and we hit it off. I think we get along really well. We've been constantly chatting on Discord, constantly.
That's great. Are people kind of falling into natural roles already as far as like writing, editing? Obviously, it's too early to kind of figure out, you know, recording, but I guess it's not, because you guys probably did record some of your discussion sessions, right?
Yeah. It's I don't know how many roles we've figured out. I know I recorded our discussion that we had. Mm-hmm. I was set up easiest to do that. And I don't know. I think some of us have done some writing. We've been messing around and tossing ideas back and forth, right? And part of my process of doing that is I try to write it out, right? Like I say, okay, yes. will this work? And the only way for me to tell if something will work is to try it. So I've been doing a lot of writing and passing that on to people. So I don't know if that'll translate or what, but we've been, right now we're in heavy, intense planning and brainstorming mode. We're working that out.
Perfect. That's the way these first few days definitely need to go, and especially with the meeting that you'll have with Tom for the coaching, that you don't want to actually have anything solidified or locked in concrete before then, because it'll usually change after the meeting with Tom, or change, be altered slightly, maybe.
Yeah. I think we kind of want to have like a direction or a plan A and plan B kind of idea before we go in to talk to Tom and take his feedback. And then after that, you know, really get our noses to the grindstone, I guess.
Cool. Well, what kind of ideas are you guys working on?
Oh man. So first of all, this is a deceptively difficult challenge, Brian.
It is. It absolutely is. Yep.
Where just talk about yourselves or introduce yourselves in any way you want. So we threw around a bunch of ideas, and I think the leading contender right now is we have this idea for sort of like the stem of the idea was, or the prompt, so to speak, was childhood dreams versus your current self. Mm. So, you know, like finding an excuse to talk about how you are now in an interesting way, right? And we thought maybe if we're comparing the dreams and aspirations we had as children, or those childhood dreams, and talking about how they've either succeeded, like how we've come to them, or they've gone to the wayside, and how they compare to the way that it is now.
Which ones you've been able to realize, and which ones kind of were just that, childhood dreams, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So that's sort of the one I think we're currently talking about. But like you said, we're trying not to trying not to commit ourselves too heavily. And it's hard to do that when you get start getting excited about an idea, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The one of the biggest things that you'll hear me say all throughout the season, there's even a t-shirt that Alex Albisu made of this last year. I say all throughout the season, I'm not a judge, but, and right. I'll throw in my advice. In this case, I'm not a coach, so I can't give you any advice on that. I leave that up to Tom. But I like the idea. It's a very clever and different way of kind of approaching something that, you're right, on the surface seems like, oh, this is easy. All we have to do is just introduce ourselves. But A, you have to do it in a way that is compelling and will make people care. B,
right.
do it in a way that feels like it's not a one-off episode, but part of a series. And I'm glad you guys are keeping both of those guidelines front and center on this.
Yeah, we had some. That's a big thing, right? Like it has to feel like this is a podcast, not right. just this is a singular piece of creative work.
Exactly. Yep.
So, and that's a challenge in and of itself.
that's the guideline that I love the most, because it really differentiates having a podcast that's got some longevity to it, that you know you can take through a series and not say, oh, this is a great idea, that's going to work for four episodes and then we're out. then we've got nothing left. So I like taking the approach of thinking about, all right, how could I maintain this? How is this going to be a sustainable show week after week after week? Even if it's a 12 episode miniseries.
Yeah.
Or 8 episode miniseries, you do have to still think about a series and still have to think about it in the context of a series. Great. Well, I'm excited to hear what Tom says when you talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah, and, we are too.
Even more excited to hear what you guys come up with. Really excited. Thank you so much for taking the time, Bobby, and hope it all continues to go well.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much.
Let's see how things went when they met with the coach, Tom Merritt.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
It's nice to meet you all. Do you mind? I know this takes up a little bit of the 10 minutes. Just make it quick. Do you mind going round the horn and introducing yourselves?
Yes, sure. My name is Bobby Frankenberger.
I'm David Lusader.
And I am Don Miller, also known as Diddy.
And like one line about, like, do you have a podcast? Do you have podcast dreams?
Yes.
Yes, we all have podcast dreams. But no, my name is Bobby. I do have a podcast. It's called JBYC. It's a talk show about basically nothing. It's the Seinfeld of talk shows.
I currently do two movie podcasts and aspire to do something else one day.
I have a podcast called Joystick and Mouse that I do with Alex from.
Okay, so you guys, you all are in this. That's good. That's good.
Yep.
How are you feeling about the first week?
Oh my God, this is hard.
This is a tough challenge.
Tell me a little bit about your approach.
So go ahead, Bobby.
We had a lot of different ideas, and I think one that we're kind of settling on is, so the challenge here that we've been trying to tackle is, how do we tell each of our stories, four different stories, but do it in a way that doesn't just sound like us doing four different stories, like just doing that four different times and it feeling disconnected or unconnected. So we thought, what if we couched it or framed it inside this idea of stories of connecting with your childhood? And I think it was David who might have come up with the idea of saying, what if we compare, like we approach it like we're comparing our childhood dreams versus our current selves, and we kind of went with that, and we're thinking, what if we are in various ways looking back on what we thought we were going to be like or what we were going to do as children, mm-hmm. and how that compares to where we are now.
So that gives you each about 2 minutes to do that. Mm-hmm. Does that feel like enough?
Yes. Yeah.
And we've all started sort of writing ours out and I think practicing them a little bit. It's tight, but I think it's doable for everyone.
So your challenge then is going to be, how do you make it, especially if you're writing things out, how do you make it dynamic enough that the audience, and especially the judges, are interested? How do you make you can make it fun. It doesn't have to be fun, but it has to be compelling. Like, what can you do? You're going to hear me say this over and over and over. You probably heard me say it last season as well, if you were listening. How do you elevate it? How do you make it more than just like, okay, I'm Bobby and here's my childhood story and it's a really good story, and then moving on to the next one? Like, is there a way to weave them together? Can you look at what you all have written and find themes that you can pull out? Are there challenges you can make to each other about your stories? Like, think along those lines.
Yeah, and if that's good to hear you say, because I think that's kind of the direction we're going in. We were the idea of the overall, like this has to sit inside you know, the conceit is that this is a podcast that already exists, right? Or it's some sort of a series. And we thought, you know, maybe a podcast that looks at childhood or looks at people's lives or something like that. But this particular episode is, let's explore this particular thing. And the theme is how our lives and our experiences change who we thought we were going to become. And we would have sort of almost in a This American Life sort of style, you have a host that's the through line that's connecting all of these various stories and then quickly introducing them, like, next up, this is a story, it's going to be about, you know, this and so on. But they all have that connecting theme.
Here's one way to test any idea. Explain to me in one sentence why I should listen to this episode.
So the reason you should listen to this episode is because this is going to teach you about, or it's going to be interesting stories about how people grow up thinking that they are going to be one thing, and life sometimes gets in the way.
So how are you going to surprise me with that? Because I, as a listener, think like, yeah, that's everybody's story. Everybody thinks they're going to be something when they grow up, like an astronaut, but they're not. That's where you have to do your work now. Like, how do you twist that dial just a little bit to be like, all right, look at your stories. It's there. I bet you it's there. And just look at those stories and figure out, like, okay, what's unique about our four stories together is X, right? And that's what you need to play into. And I think once you do that, if you hit upon that thing, you'll start to come up, like, the ideas will just start to surface about, oh, we can lean into that and you can refer to this and then I'll bring it up in this story. That stuff usually starts to gel that way.
What, just abstractly, without knowing, you know, our stories or anything like that, what do you kind of have in mind to kind of maybe give us an idea of how to?
Well, what I have in mind is, this needs to make me say, why do I care? Right.
Right.
This needs to make me say, oh, that's interesting. Or tell someone else, like, I heard this amazing podcast where they told the story of X, Y, and Z. So without knowing your stories, I don't know what that is. And without sitting and brainstorming, sometimes it's not obvious what that is, but you got to push yourselves a little to look for that thing where you kind of know it when you see it. And if you're looking at all four stories and saying these don't fit together, maybe say, well, does anybody have a different story here? Like, because I guess what I'm getting at is, everybody says, my childhood, I thought this was going to happen, and when I grew up, it was different. So if you were to tell me your episode is going to be like, our childhoods predicted exactly what we would be doing now, I'd be like, well, that's interesting. Now, you never hear that. Not say that that's what you have to do, but it has to tell me something unusual. Like, our childhoods predicted we would all be hoodlums. And, you know, and if we knew now what we knew then, boy, are we glad we didn't follow the advice that we thought we should. I, you know, something that makes me take notice.
Okay.
Does that help any?
Yeah, I think it kind of helps me reshape a direction I would go with my story. Obviously, I'll talk to my team about how to connect it with theirs, but that is really helpful.
That is, yes. I think you're right. I think that's the key. That through line needs to be solid between all of them, but also needs to be unexpected.
Yeah, it's almost like developing a mission statement that you're developing your content to point toward. And no, you don't want to fake stuff, you know.
Right.
You've got to find it in the stories you're telling, because that's the point of this challenge, right? You don't want to introduce people to a lie. You want to introduce them to who you are. So yeah, if you're gonna do it this way, I think that's your best bet, is to look for that thing that's surprising.
Yeah. I agree. That gives us a lot to talk about this evening. We're going to have a meeting later.
Do we want to throw out our other ideas and see if he thinks one of those might be
The other leading idea that we had, which I think is kind of ambitious, but maybe that's the way to go, was we were thinking, it's kind of complicated, and that's the problem, right? Is that we would, if we pretended that that we were together as a, like we were doing a tabletop role-playing game, actual play thing, sort of like, and that's like the connective tissue. That's the reason that we're all together. But the stories are being told as we introduce, like with cutaways, almost reality TV style or documentary style cutaways. We're talking to the people and why they're there. And then some truth about the people would be revealed in those moments.
So real life role play. It's sort, presented sort of like as we're tabletop. Role
playing ourselves
made up
situation. Yeah.
See, now the advantage of that idea is right there in the premise, you've got something that makes me go, okay, that's different. That's interesting.
Right.
I want to hear this. But you're right, it's ambitious. That's going to be your challenge through this entire series is, right. My gosh, that's ambitious. If we do it right, we win. If we don't do it right, we might lose. But that's playing it safe is not always safe. Playing it safe often gets people eliminated. So that might be one to look at and maybe even borrow ideas from the childhood stuff. Maybe you're role playing through your childhood or something. But what one thing I do like about the RPG idea or the tabletop idea is you can then divide up responsibilities. One of you who's really good at writing can write out the script and write out the stories. One of you can do the editing and putting in sound effects. And then you're able to go and say, yeah, we work together as a team. We had the voice, we had the writing, we had the sound effects. And whereas the other one kind of divides up the responsibilities fairly evenly amongst the three of you. So it's not as easy to talk about, you know, specialization as you would in the tabletop idea.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's listen in on their work sessions.
Well, to the audience, because the way, like, as I said, you have that visual cue in the office in Parks and Rec that they're sitting alone. In podcasts, we don't have that visual cue. You know, you have like, oh, there's having conversation, then cutaway to Brad, like, how are you imagining that transition to work?
So you'd
like
have
an overlay, almost like a transitional overlay.
Yeah, and you'd
how
have,
do we signal that to the audience?
You'd obviously have to do it in an auditory way, but there are two ways you could do it. You could have some really simple, consistent, and low bed music for those types of things, but also have like a just right off the top of my head when you go into a cutaway and out of a cutaway, you could just have like a transitional, like short swoosh sound or something, you know.
Well, so that, so my question then is, are we people who know we're being recorded and are doing this on purpose, or is it like we're people playing at a table and coincidentally people are recording us?
For sure. The way I'm envisioning it is people would definitely be conscious of the fact that they're being recorded.
Yeah.
Okay.
What if we did it in the context of the game? So to transition from one person to the other, so like in my little story, the lion jumps out on the path in front of you. Kristen, what do you do? And then you would go into your spiel about you.
Right.
I just think that Tom brought up a really good point of no matter what the idea, I think whatever idea we brought him, I mean, maybe if we had started with the D&D one, he would have maybe, I think his immediate question was always going to be, why do I care? How do you elevate
that? Right. It's one of those that's an easy starting point.
Yes. But a good one, because I think it definitely like for all of us, it made us go, okay, well, wait, how do we sell this to you?
Right.
What if, and this, I'm just throwing every idea I have out there, so this is probably not good, but I'm throwing it. What if everybody wrote their own eulogy or obituary?
Ooh.
Huh.
It's an interesting
idea.
I
don't hate that.
Yeah, I don't hate that idea either. I would want to figure out how... Again, you know, why do people want to keep listening?
I was going to say, Tom sounded a little bit more upbeat about this idea than he did.
When we mentioned this as well, we also had this idea. It was like his whole attitude changed.
Because I think he saw that, okay, it's easier to penetrate the idea with it versus he was pushing us real hard on that other one. I think rightfully so. I think it made us all really examine okay, there is something here, but it's like, we gotta dig deep into all of our stories.
AKA don't half-ass it.
Right. Well, yeah. And I'm not saying we would have half-assed at all, but it's like, he's even saying take your idea where it is now and go a step beyond.
Right. Kristen, I think, I'm sorry, David, I was about to cut you
off. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, Kristen, I think you make a really good point, which is the point of I was, again, this is going to be our mantra here, the WWJS, what would Justin say? And I think he would say, even if we didn't execute it perfectly, I can imagine him saying, they went for it. They really went for something different here.
Three figures travel east, headed home. A tall human paladin with a steely look in his eyes leads the way. Behind him is a capricious gnome and a muscle-bound half-orc you don't want to be on the wrong side of. Little do they know, their biggest adventure is yet ahead of them. This is Rules As Intended, a Real Play D&D podcast. Join Bobby, Don, and Kristen as they navigate the world of Yusong with Dungeon Master David as their guide.
So the three of you have been traveling out in the open for a while now, and you're about to enter a forested area.
Tell us your name and who you are.
My name is David, and I am the Dungeon Master. I am 30 years old. I live in Virginia. I have a job in marketing, and that's about as exciting as it gets. I'm really big into just kind of general nerdy stuff. I'm a gamer. I love comic books. I watch a fair bit of anime. I first started playing tabletop RPGs sometime in high school. I wanted to start earlier, but my mom was actually scared of D&D. She bought a little bit into some of the residual satanic panic. It's my rebellious phase in my 30s, I guess.
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
I have an 8. Well, my name is Kristen. I am playing Allagash, and she is a barbarian berserker. I've always been a make-believer. Even as a kid, I had steam trunk full of dress-up clothes. I grew from hairbrushes and frills to main stage spotlight in drama club all through high school and college. Tabletopping takes second stage to my first one true love, LARPing. That's live-action role-playing to rules lawyers in the back. I get to be whoever I want to be. Lots of fun and adventure awaits is the things I live by.
Oh my god, I rolled a 6. Hi, my name's Don, and I play a gnome wizard with an artificer specialization. It's sort of like a mechanical engineer, and it allows you to use mechanical objects powered by magic. I am an eclectic person. I love tech and geeky stuff. Sort of me, and the gnomes are sort of eclectic. They're happy-go-lucky, and that's sort of me.
15. Hello, my name is Bobby Frankenberger. I play Finn the Paladin. I love tabletop RPGs. I have a whole YouTube channel and streaming thing that's devoted to tabletop RPG content. I can't get enough of it. I'm a stay-at-home dad of 2 beautiful, adorable little girls, 3 and 6 years old. Yes, absolutely, I have introduced them to tabletop gaming, as any responsible adult would have done with their children.
All right, wonderful. Well, Bobby, Finn, you smell smoke. And what you realize is it's not like a campfire that you're smelling. It is burning flesh. It is blood. It is the remnants of a battle.
Oh, I smell trouble ahead. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm a bit of an anxious person. I'm a worrier. I don't really jump out there and take charge and do things much, I suppose. I like to be careful and plan before doing anything and taking any risk. I think we should find out what's going on. Let's go!
I say we follow Finn. I'm interested.
I turn to Allagash and I say, oh my god, not again. Let's go after him. He's the paladin, and that's what paladins do. And so, my children are all grown. I have two boys and a daughter by marriage. They're in their 20s still, so they're, you know, they know everything about the world. And
wait, did he tell you I remind him of his children?
Finn, since you're the first one ahead, you're the first one to see the wreckage. The ground is just littered with body and debris. The one furthest from you is still on fire, and the bodies on the ground seem to be an equal mix of both human and goblin.
What happened here?
Oh, goblins. Slimy little rats.
Whoa. Ugh. Why?
I am playing Allagash, and she's a lot like me because she is interested and curious about the world around her. Sometimes the smallest detail can make the difference in problem solving. I think it's been bred into me from my childhood as always being aware of your surroundings that can make and break a safe situation. And really, it kind of just goes back to being what I do for a living, which is a software technician, help desk person. So a lot of the times finding out the difference between a bug in a program and the possibly an user error is asking the right questions or finding the right details to expound upon. I am a true crime fan. I learned it from my mom. I remember watching lots of crime procedurals on television, and something that I always shared with her. Maybe one day I can help solve a crime.
Man, but what killed all of them?
Who cares? Good. Good riddance, I say. Ooh, what's that over there? Oh, look.
Oh, so as Diddy, as you begin to get closer to everything that happened. Good. Because that's where I want them to go. That's where I have planned for the next story beats to happen. Storytelling is all over D&D. That's what it is if it's done well. It is collaborative storytelling. There is definitely overlap between loving storytelling and being a stand-up comic. I do both stand-up and improv. I have been lucky enough to get booked a few times to actually do paid gigs. Generally, though, I'm just going to open mics and enjoying it for fun. I have always had a love for storytelling. As a kid, I wanted to be a writer, and it's a dream now at 30 that I still have.
You don't see it, but you hear the twang of a bowstring release, and you feel an arrow sink into your shoulder for 6 damage.
Ah! Oh! Oh! Hate the goblins. What was that?
Oh.
I go running back to Finn.
I start slowly investigating further.
So as you're all looking around, you can spot in the bushes there is a goblin who is holding a bow and arrow ready.
But he's not, like, prepared. Like, he's not continuing the attack.
No.
Diddy pulls out a throwing knife and throws it at the goblin.
Diddy!
I'm so not a mean person. At all.
All right, roll me an attack.
6.
Okay, the goblin is able to duck out of the way just in time.
What are you doing? Stop it!
They're filthy animals.
He's clearly scared and...
Good! Can I kill him now?
But I want to know what they did.
I don't
care.
Tell me. Doesn't matter. They're the only two alive. Just kill them.
I mean, I don't particularly like goblins, I suppose. It's just, like... I don't know, when you become a parent, you get sort of a soft spot for small things. They kind of all, like, remind you of your children. Not that I'm trying to say my kids are goblins or anything. I promise I'm not saying that.
There's goblins here among this wreckage. They're clearly survivors. They might need our help.
No, the only good goblin is a dead goblin.
And then I yank the arrow out of Diddy's arm and heal the wound.
Ah!
Finn, when you lay your hand on his shoulder, the wound doesn't quite heal, actually. It gets a little bit black around the edges.
That, my friend, is a plot hook.
This has never happened before. This shouldn't happen. Something dark and sinister is...
Yeah, I can tell you it's dark and sinister. It's over there, standing over there with the bow.
We're not... going to kill the goblins.
It's escapism, right? Like, that's the great thing about RPGs is, like, I would never have a confrontation like that with Don or anybody for that matter. I'm much more of a pushover. Like it's escapism. We all need escapism. In many ways, I remember one time I almost had a nervous breakdown as a new stay-at-home dad when I realized that I had not left the house in literally 2 weeks. I literally need the escape sometimes.
As this is all happening, Diddy, you begin to feel something calling to you.
I'm distracted by the wagon now. I gotta go find out what's in the wagon.
Oh, well, you see immediately just right sitting in the back, and there's a chest. As soon as you touch it, you want to open it.
Oh, really nice chest. Oh, I can't help myself. I open the chest.
As soon as you open it, there's just a brilliant light pours out from it, and the ground begins to shake around all of you. And immediately, you hear a booming voice above you that yells out,
"The ritual is complete. Accept this sacrifice."
And red flashes all around as the ground opens up and swallows you whole.
Where are our heroes being taken, and what awaits them once they arrive? Find out next time on Rules As Intended.
That was Rules As Intended, this week's entry into the Introduction Challenge from Team 1. On the next couple episodes, we'll catch up with Teams 2 and 3 to see what they're working on, and then later this week, it's the Judging and Elimination episode, where we'll send home our first contestant. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.